Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Welcome to your brilliance. Yes, it is a beautiful Tuesday day, even though there have been some very sad things that have taken place, both in our nation and Canada, and, well, quite honestly, there's a whole lot of very sad things taking place all around the world at the hands of people with guns. I'm not trying to make a statement that people shouldn't have guns, but the reality is, there are people who have guns and say and do, well, and just do horrific things. So it's a sad, sad thing. And hopefully you can take the time somewhere in your day to remember those families. And I think that sometimes when these things happen, we forget that there are children and there are spouses. And the parents of those who were murdered and the great-grandparents. And there's so many people, nieces and dogs and best friends, that their lives are all going to be changed forever because somebody else was either mentally or spiritually lost. So anyways, it's something we all need to do something about. We all need to figure out some way of either getting people in office who are willing to care about mental health issues. Mental health is just as important as your arm or your leg or your eyesight, your hearing. And when those things are compromised, then, you know, healthcare takes care of it, generally. With mental health, it's almost like you're penalized for having a mental illness or a mental imbalance. Excuse me? What? Hello? I don't know what's going on, but it seems like I'm getting somebody's feed off whatever. But anyway, it's just one of those things. I know that this show is about something else, but this is something that I want to say it while it's fresh in your mind. We all need to figure out a way or try to seek out information to try to rectify this situation from the better. Okay? So, here we go. Let's get on to who you truly are. This show is about the brilliance of exploring your true self. Now, and the reason I put it that way as the brilliance of exploring your true self is because some people are really not quite sure who they are. Some people believe they are who Aunt Betty or Uncle Bob tells them that they are. Or maybe your daddy told you that you were something and you think that that's who you are. Maybe your brothers and sisters told you that you're this way and you just accepted it because they were either older or something like that. Well, reality, is that who we are is generally a multifaceted person. But the main essence of who we are, that is really dependent upon ourselves. And the reality is this. We were born as already a person. We developmentally, physically, and then also our cognitive and physical abilities were all developing. But still, there was this kernel of who we are that is associated pretty much with our brilliance, or it is our brilliance. However, you could look at it that way. You, who you are, is your brilliance. Excuse me. Grape juice. Yeah, but you must understand that when other people are making determinations about us, that it's all being filtered through their lives and their backgrounds. And sometimes they just don't get it right. And when we are feeling a lot less powerful, we sort of go with what they say, or maybe because it's a little bit easier than actually figuring out who we are on our own. You know, if your mom and dad tell you that you're a doctor and you're going to be a doctor and you're just the perfect doctor, that's mom and dad's hopes for you. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're a doctor. If you don't believe me, look out in the world. I've met so many people who are in these really fabulous positions. They made a lot of money, but they were not doing things that they really like to do. For instance, I'll give you an example. There is a man that, and yes, this does have to do with your personality. Trust me, it does. Okay, there was a man that I had met at an attorney. She was on the Washington State Bar Association. She used to be one of the main people. Anyway, I'm not going to give her name, but she would always throw these great parties. And she had a wonderful condominium downtown Seattle, and the view was fabulous. And she was just a really outgoing, really special lady. I thought she was fabulous. And I lost touch with her over time. But and hopefully she's still out there having those great parties. But when I was just a lowly office clerk at the bank that I worked at, and which was basically Bank of America, and I was invited to these parties through one of my best pals. Her mom was the best friend of this attorney. So if you're out there, you probably know who you are. But anyways, I wasn't there like all the other people. All the other people there were like in big wig type jobs. They were either private bankers of these multi-million dollar companies, or they were big time attorneys for some ball player at some, you know, national, you know, basketball association or something. Everybody that was there, other than myself and my best pal, were basically really, you know, big time, big money making type jobs. So it's kind of, you know, you would normally think that I would sort of feel out of place and all that, but mostly I just would go to parties and I would sort of like take my little stance either on the couch or out on the balcony or something, and I just let happen what happened. And so this one guy ended up speaking to me because I was speaking to somebody else and I was so quote-unquote positive. Imagine that, me talking about the positive. And he overheard me talking to someone else about, you know, living your life, you know, living up to your true potential, being happy at what you do. And he came over to get some of the Brenda stuff. And he said, you know, he was a personal banker. He said, you know, I've always wanted to have a kite shop. You know, I just wanted to have a kite shop. I just wanna, you know, work with kites, and you know, I love the idea of this and that. And I said, why aren't you doing it? He said, you know, the job, da da da. It's like, what's the job got to do with your true passion? And I said, you can do it. I mean, maybe you're not gonna just quit cold turkey, maybe you take a little bit of time and start building up some of the things and preparing, but why not? Why not you? You know, who says you can't do it better than someone else? And I said, just, it's your life. What are you waiting for? So that was that party. And, we had a great conversation. I had a blast. And I was lucky because people wanted me to come back. So I got invited to another party and another. And I think it was a year later. And I was at the same, I think it was New Year's Day. She would have them New Year's Day and she'd have them on 4th of July. And this guy came up to me. He wasn't in a suit like before. He had a suit on. It was the same guy. And he came up to me. And he said, yeah, you really should come by and check out my kite store. And I said, get out of here. And he said, yeah. And he said, he said something about the kite store. And I said, oh, well, it's doing good. You got a lot of people working there or what? And he said, I've got me working there. And he said, there's someone else. And he said, but I've been doing fabulous business. And I said, that's great. He said, yeah, I had to let the bank go. I didn't have any time for it. Come on, people. I mean, this man, who knows who was telling him that he should be a banker. But it wasn't his true self. And he was able to go off. I did get by his shop. It was really cool. It was a little place, but he had his kites were huge and gorgeous and colorful and, yeah, it was really making a name for itself at the time. But anyway, he reconnected to his true self. He explored his true nature. And, you know, it's not that he wasn't a good banker. Obviously, he was at a really high level of private banking, and he did quite well. But he wasn't living his passion. And figuring out what your passion is usually takes you getting in touch with who you are. Okay, and you need to do this. You must trust me on this one. You need to do this independent of what your parents think of you, what your siblings, your grandparents, your boss, your best friend even. If you have a best friend or you have several best friends and they all most likely have a perspective of you that's still not even exactly the same amongst each other. It may have an overall theme, but it's still not the total you. And there's one person who knows who the total you is, and that's you. So if you find that most of the time that you're in your job and you're daydreaming about anything else, other than the fact that you might not be in the best job for you and your sensibilities, it could just very well be that you're just not honoring who you truly are. Whether you're in a great-paying job or maybe you're in a low-paying job and you just took a job because it was the first one that was offered to you, or it seemed like it was good enough because it was maybe down the road and you didn't have to drive to it. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to take those options. There's a lot of reasons, which is fine. But if you're going to be working in a job that really isn't fulfilling you, then the rest of your time, you're going to want to somehow figure out how to support you being you. And once you're sort of in tune with who you are and you've kind of explored out, like, yeah, you know, I really do love to paint. And now that I look at it, I think that oil painting is more my speed than acrylic or pen and ink or something like that. And when you start to explore who you truly are, you may find some of the most wonderful things about yourself that you were, I'm not going to say you didn't know it, because I believe it's in there, but you have been ignoring or repressing. I was in a music theory course many years ago at Seattle Central Community College, and we also had to take piano at the same time because we also had to write the different forms of music, like Baroque and Renaissance and da-da-da-da. That was part of music theory you needed to understand. And I already had had piano as a kid with the evil piano teacher. Yeah, I was one of those poor kids. But you could take piano through the college and do, you know, you could learn at your own pace. And you just wore a headset, and you'd be in a room full of other people with keyboards. And one of the guys that was in my music theory class, he would bring in some of these incredible pieces because we had to turn in music. I still think that was incredible. My homework was a Baroque piece or a Renaissance piece. I still love that. It's just so much more exciting than, you know, a whole sheet of, you know, algebra or something. Although I did love math and I did love algebra. It just, the music theory was really exciting to have that kind of, your homework was all written in notes. So anyways, one of the guys that I was in my class, he would, because there was a main piano at the in the front of the theory class, it was a regular lecture class, but it had a piano at the front. He would go in before class, and I started coming into class early because he would go in there and start playing these incredible pieces. He was just like this great jazz pianist, and he was just working those keys, and I just like, that is so beautiful. I said, I'm coming in here just to see you. I have to get here early. I have to run from my other classes or get to school early just so I can hear what the heck you're going to play today. And I said, where did you learn to play? I figured this guy has been playing piano since he was 3 years old. And he said, oh, I just started taking piano last year. I said, what are you talking about? He said, yeah, joined a class at the college. He was taking the class that you can keep taking the piano lab class over and over, and that's what he did. And he started to learn how to play piano from scratch, the class. He'd never played piano before. And this guy, I'm telling you, it's almost touching. I am not going to cry. But it was touching to hear this incredible jazz pianist. And he'd never played piano before. If you've ever had piano, or if you've never had piano, usually in 1 year's time when you're learning piano or you're even taking private lessons, you're not playing at this level. This is the kind of level that somebody who has been playing jazz all their life, like, what's his name? Harry Connick Jr. This kid was playing piano like this when he was around 12 or 13, Harry Connick Jr. He was playing piano like that, but he took to the piano when he was really young. This guy, 1 year, same level as Harry Connick Jr. when he was about 12 years old, 13. Now, where did that come from? That came from the brilliance that's within him. That was his personality, and it was part of his personality that nobody really fostered because he never had explored that side of him. So who knows who you are if you don't? Who knows? Maybe you're an incredible singer. I actually thought about taking singing lessons because there was a couple of people who kept telling me that I had this great voice, and I thought, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they would go on and on, like, you really should take lessons. And I thought about it. I was really thinking about it. And it's like, Brenda, that would pretty much entail you actually standing in front of people and singing or something. Like, not going to happen. This is just my personal viewpoint on it. And I think there are people who do sing and they do great stuff because they paid attention to who they are. It doesn't have to be with music, folks. If you just look on the internet, good Lord, there's even like curling. My cousin in Portland, he started talking about curling. At first, he thought it was hilarious that people were sweeping in front of a ball or this big giant stone. And he'd never heard of it. And I said, yeah, I've heard of curling. I mean, you know, it's big in Canada and European countries. And next thing I know, probably about a year later, he was talking about looking for a curling association around the Portland area. I'm thinking, really? And he said that he and his wife were kind of starting getting into just the curling on TV and things like that, which I don't know if they have one in Portland. They may have. It's not something that I'm looking for, but it just goes to show that there's so much more to you if you just take the time to explore, then you might know. And here's the thing. Who knows what's out there in the world to do that you haven't quite run across yet? If you're not exploring it, how do you know? Maybe there's some incredible type way of working with glass. When I finally started doing glass blowing years ago, and I still have this deep desire to go back to it, when I started doing glass blowing years ago, I didn't know all the different types and the incredible slumping work and the lamp working and everything that you do when you're working with molten, burn every single layer of your flesh off glass. Ooh, it gets hot. But you learn to compensate for that, and you get a little used to it, and I guess your skin toughens up a little bit. You know, if you're working it right, you still have your eyebrows, you know, the next day or the next week or a month later. But I was exploring what my talents were that have to do with who I am. And the other thing that happened to me that told me a lot more about myself, and it was a bit of a scary situation, is when I was assaulted on my job when I drove bus. And it was a bit of a brutal assault. Yeah, I'm just trying to put it nicely. And it was really terrifying. And I remember after that, I had big PTSD issues, post-traumatic stress disorder, and there's a lot of people in the world with PTSD these days because there's a lot of heavy things going on, whether it's traffic, horrendous accident where you thought you were going to die, or, you know, plane crashes, or your weather, or, you know, your father getting, you know, murdered on the job, or at a McDonald's or something. So, yeah, there's a lot of traumatic things going on in the world. And one thing that PTSD does, I believe, is it actually makes you think about your life more, and it makes you think about who you are and what you can and you feel you can no longer do. And so when that happened to me, one of the things that I kept trying to do is get my personality back, because I was not as gregarious as I used to be. I didn't go to parties anymore. I didn't go to concerts and the gallery walks. I did a lot of things. I was constantly in some social gathering. But one of the things that I noticed is I really didn't like being in gigantic gatherings of massive people. They always made me feel really uncomfortable before I was attacked. But I would always just gloss over it and just brace myself. So when I'd be at big concerts and I'd be in the midst of these thousands of people, I was really wanting to jump out of my skin, but because I was there with my friends and we're which you probably have done. We've all done that. We've done things because that's what our family did. That's what our friends are doing. and it, but it may not necessarily be what you like to do. And I could look at the concerts I went to that were big, big names like Led Zeppelin or the Jackson 5 or Kiss. And they, yeah, you have this sense of unity with all these thousands of people that we all really love this music or love wanting to see them live, but I didn't enjoy it. The music is, unless you're wearing earphones, usually gets highly distorted as it's flowing and bouncing off all these walls. Unless you're in a brilliantly made amphitheater that's designed to allow music to reverberate naturally, or you're at an outdoor concert where the wavelengths of the sound don't get distorted by walls, they just start flowing out naturally. Those are the best ways to hear a live concert. And I did notice that the concerts where I did go, like to the Gorge in Eastern Washington, where it's open air right at a gorge, it sounded great. And plus, people weren't packed in, so I didn't feel like I was claustrophobic, or the Puyallup Fair, where I could just sit on the bleachers and it's open. Outdoor too, but everyone sort of was in their sitting place. They weren't crowding in on you. It was just, I began to really see about my personality that I really enjoy more space. I never respected that about me. I didn't really realize that about me. So PTSD, which I would rather you not go through a PTSD situation where you fear your life is threatened or you have to watch somebody else die, to start thinking about who you really are, I would rather you do something more innocuous like take a personality test. That's pretty easy to do, generally a lot easier than being brutalized. And I did put a link on there, the website you could go to. It's called 16 Personalities, Which One Are You? And I took the test. It's a free test. It's similar to the Myers-Briggs test. If you're in psychology, you probably know what that test is. And it's most people know about when they bring up personality tests, there's a Myers-Briggs something that will come up. It's probably one of the best known one in psychology or psychiatry. But go to this website. It's just 16, the number 16, and personalities.com. Just go there, take the test, and they will give you great information about how much of an extrovert you are, how much of an introvert you are, how you are with feeling and judgment, things like that. And these all come to play in your relationships with other people, how you work, how you date, how you're more likely to parent. Now, listen, it's easy to get that stuff and it's kind of funny, blah, blah, blah. But they actually can tell you a lot about things that would make you more comfortable. And as you look at that, it can help fuel your search about you. You know, who are you? Are you an equestrian person? If you've never been around horses, and all you've ever had to do with horses is what you've seen on TV, maybe, just maybe, you should go explore that. And you might find that the horse is your patron animal saint or something, because horses are extremely intuitive. They have an energy about them that is amazing. And once you learn to mount up and do all the different things, you start to walk or you canter a little and then you get to a gallop. My first time was, it was almost orgasmic, and I'm sorry, it just, that's the best thing that I can say about it. It wasn't because there was some physical thing going on with me. What it was is that I actually started to get in tune with the rhythm of the horse moving and not feeling so afraid that every second I was going to get popped off of that saddle and thrown ever which direction. And anyone who's ever just started riding a horse and didn't know how to sort of, you know, move with the horse or hang on, you're being bounced around. You actually get more bounced around when the horse is just sort of walking and cantering than when they get into a gallop and it's like their gait is even more smooth. But just getting there was just a whole nother feeling. It was such a high, I can't imagine. How to tell you, I realized then why so many people fall in love with their horses. Because once, it's like the two of you are one, most people seek when it comes to their relationships. And when you finally get that, symmetry, or you're sort of one with the people or persons in your life that you absolutely adore, it is a bit of a high. It's better than any drug you could ever take, because I'm not a drug person, so I'd probably say that over someone else. But, oops, there goes the keyboard. Listen, folks, explore it. Explore calligraphy. If you were your own kid, now I ask you this, if you were your own kid, and I know I use this a lot in psychology, how would you treat your baby you, your little mini you? Personally, my little baby Brenda, she doesn't get treated as good as I could treat her, but I continue to work on it. But if you had a child that was you, would you just want your child to be doing what you're doing every day and nothing else? Would you want your little child to not ever seek out what their true skills are or their strengths are, or not actually explore their interests or their brilliance? Come on. When you're a parent and your kid hits that fly ball or something, or hits it out of the park, you're in heaven. When you go and watch your child on the skating rink, I've actually met moms that have been skating rink moms. They're driven. And every little thing, every little turn that their child does is like winning the Olympics. What is it that you haven't found about yourself? I mean, maybe you have found everything. I suggest that there's more, because the possibilities seem infinite. But I suggest there's more. Keep looking. Don't give up on your brilliance. Really explore it. Really find out who your true self is. And you know what you'll say when you're your true self? It's easy for you to just say, yeah, I'm not real good in situations like that. I would prefer this. That's when you're really in your true power, who you're connecting to your brilliance, who you are, and you're letting your family, your friends, your best pals, your loved one, your spouse, significant other, whoever, your dogs, know that this is, or your cat, this is who I am. This is what I can and cannot deal with. This is what I do. I made a decision a few years ago because I realized I have a problem. It is a personality quirk, but it's mine. And I know most of you won't agree with me, but I don't do well at funerals. I just don't. I found that out sort of the hard way. I went to one of my grandmother's funerals, and I was very acutely aware of my grandfather's presence, her husband. But the preacher is at that church. It's not a church I particularly care for, so I'm not going to name it. But he started talking about my grandmother at one point. Probably about a minute later, he starts talking about his aunt and how his aunt would get out in the yard and do all this different stuff. My grandmother, she was an ikebana master. She was a master at this flower arrangement skill that usually only Japanese people do. I mean, every time we went to these events, there was my grandmother and everyone else was Japanese or Asian of some sort. And then there was like three of us who were watching this incredible ceremony. And that's it. Now, her whole house was full of plants and the yards, and there was the vegetable garden. There was, this woman's, her whole life was incredible agricultural or horticultural type, just incredible stuff. And you want to talk about your aunt? Who cares? Now, that sounds a little bit selfish, but it just sounds to me like that guy, he probably shouldn't have been a preacher. As he certainly wasn't in tune with the congregation. Let me tell you who my grandmother was. She and my other grandmother were the two oldest members of that whole church. They had been there since almost the beginning of when it was built. And yet he doesn't know enough about her to speak about her life. I was bothered, and I was getting angrier. And I found out that when I'm at funerals, I just don't seem to know how to quell my anger. Even though, yes, I'm in psychology, and I probably know better. And my great-grandmother, her mother, would always say, don't be ugly, honey. You know, always turn the other cheek. Be a sweet person. Be nice. I wasn't being nice. And I didn't know how to be nice. When I was, I've tried to rein it in. Since that funeral, the next funeral, my great-grandmother's funeral, oh, yeah, well, there were some expletives that came out of my mouth that I won't pronounce here, and they heard it all the way at the front of the church. At one point, the preacher made the mistake of trying to speak to me in his sort of, what do you call it, his little sermon. Oh, let's be nice to the ushers, you know, they're just doing their job, which pretty much made me spew off a few more things. It was like, you know, The Exorcist. I was a little demon or something. I'm surprised my head wasn't spinning. I think there's something about my pain when it's someone that I love. I just need everyone to be authentic. And I don't do well when they're not, when we're at a funeral. So, I haven't been able to rein it in, but one thing I know about my personality now is, yeah, I love you, but I'm probably not going to be at your funeral because I don't want to be fried at the stake. And I really don't. I don't want to be taken out because I went to your funeral or for, you know, I don't even know what's going to happen next. I, as a favor, went to one of my friend's dad's funerals after she begged me relentlessly, and I was bawling so bad in the back of the, people were turning around in church looking at me, and they were like, who the hell is she? And there weren't a lot of people in that church that were my color, so it was even more embarrassing. My aunt was there, and she actually had to stay and represent the rest of our family because I had to leave early. I know I'm telling you a whole lot about me and my weirdness, but listen, that's my personality. That's who I am. I can pretend that I'm a great funeral goer and ruin the ceremony for a lot of people, or I could just, you know, own up to who I am and just send my energy and my prayers from afar. And during the ceremonies, when I'm not there, I'm just in the mode as if I am, but there's no one around me that's setting me off. So it's even to that level, folks, you know, honor who you are. There's a woman I worked with. She was married to a man for 30-something years, and she went to give him, she made some oatmeal cookies. And she set the plate down in front of him, and he said something about, there's raisins in these cookies. And she said, I know. I've made, they're the same as cookies I've made you for the last 30 years that we've been married. And he said, yeah, and I've never liked the raisins in the cookies. Because when I met her, she wasn't married. I didn't know she'd ever been married. And she told me this story. She said, yeah, so we got divorced. And I said, what? And she said, yeah, if you could be with me for 35 years and eat these cookies that you hated, you hate raisins, and you never said anything until 35 years later, it's like clearly he doesn't need to be with me and I don't need to be with him. So I guess it took him 35 years to honor who he truly was. Don't do that. I rarely tell people what to do, but just, you can do whatever you want. I have no control over what you do with your life, but my suggestion is, let me put it that way, to honor yourself so that you're not 30 years down the road where you don't want to be. Because those 30 years, well, you don't really get do-overs, but you can, you know, start doing something different. But wouldn't it be better if you do now what you really truly want to do or choose to do or makes you feel passion to do? Why not start now? What are you waiting for? Put on that Rascal Flatts song, Why Wait, and just get jiggy with it. Listen, open the internet and just start searching. We talked about hobbies a couple of shows ago. I'm talking about more than your hobby. I'm talking about your personality. Look at your personality test. You know, start reading about some of the aspects it talks about. If you've been living like you're sort of an introvert because you're sort of afraid to tick off your family, your friends, but your test tells you that you are big-time extrovert, I think it's probably time for you to go dancing or something. Go to a rodeo. Go to something where there's a lot of people. Maybe it's time for you to let go of some of the myths that people have told you about parties or socializing. Whatever it is that is holding you back from who you really believe yourself to be, or even these inklings, like you have this urge to go out dancing. There's country and Western dancing out there. You don't have to go get into the R&B scene. You can go get to the techno scene if you want to. Just get out there or start searching. It's really time to find yourself. I mean, I don't think you're really lost. I believe that most likely you're just ignoring some aspect of yourself to please someone else. It's time to please you. I don't care if you're listening to this and you're 15, 14, 44, 84, 104. It's time to start honoring who you are and your true self. Now, let's see. I really don't think that there's much more I could tell you about that at the time, and I've given you all these different examples from my life. I didn't tell you to call the number to call in. I apologize. It is 646-727-2914. You're always welcome to call in. If you're just listening to the archives, you're listening to the podcast or the internet or something, you're, you know, just whatever you can get of it. Hope you can get a little bit of a push, a little nudge. This is really a little nudge to get you to honor your true nature. And if you're one of those people that doesn't like to talk, then don't. Sometimes people, because when they'll ask me questions and I am not answering right away, they're like, hello, are you listening to me? It's just there. I tend to like to really think about the answers that I give, because it's probably a psychological thing. Yeah, I'm thinking about all the different sides to their question and what's most relevant on answering it and what exactly I want to say and how to say it so that this particular person is going to understand me. So sometimes it takes me a while to answer. And there are times when I'm just quiet. Hard to believe, because it sounds like I blather on. But there are times that I'm quiet and I'm thinking. And especially if somebody says something that sort of has me go, really? Wow. Huh. And my sweetie hates it when I say, really? And he thinks that I'm being judgmental, but I'm surprised sometimes when he says certain things, and I start going over in the back of my mind, like, oh, how did that might make sense about what he did, 6 years ago, and now I understand why he said what he said last week, because there are still people still surprise me. A psychologist is not a mind reader, and they're not know-it-alls, no matter how many people may think they talk or act that way. Myself as a psychologist, who I am is an explorer. And even when I write my poems and my stories, I'm exploring different avenues of personalities and combinations of relationships in the world. So, looks like somebody. Did you have something to say, Nina?
Well, no, I just want to know if I'm the nice caller.
Well, you're in the wrong show.
I know that, honey. No, I just wanted to tell you, you are giving people a lot of good information, and I hope they really step up to the plate and realize how really brilliant they are. And, even if they need to sit back, be silent for a while, and think on it, and bring that person you're hiding out.
Yeah, and my dog Pepper, she agrees. She comes.
She always
it.
Agrees with Auntie Nina.
Yeah, and Nina would say that. Well, my dog always has something to say, and she didn't really hold back. I think she's just alerted the neighbors that they need to check into their true natures too, since they felt the need to come home. I guess. So says Pepper. But, yeah, I'm with you, Nina. I really hope that people will explore. It's always amazing when I meet someone and they find out that you look at the incredible paintings that they do, and it's like, oh, yeah, I started that 2 years ago when I retired, or after my daughter died, or after I had that accident. There's all these different. And it's like, do you think they became a great painter out of nowhere? I believe it was already there. I believe your brilliance is there. You're born with it. And start looking at yourself as the most incredible gadget that was ever made. And explore that gadget. Start with your mind. and then start looking at your physical capabilities. You probably can do things that you've never thought of. If you used to love playing basketball in high school, there's no reason you can't pick up basketball again, or baseball. I used to do intramural baseball. I used to be on an intramural baseball league once I got out of high school because I loved baseball. Well, I call it softball, baseball, whatever. But, yeah, I did that outside of high school, and I played on some teams. Then when I was later, I was working at the bank many years later, and I met somebody at some – it was a junior achievement type function, fair or whatever, with all these different junior achievement company programs where the high schoolers were selling their products and learning how to run a business, which I actually used to be an advisor for many years. But I met a banker, actually, from a rival bank, and she and I hit it off. I thought, man, she's the cat's meow. And she and I hit it off, and we had a lot of fun talking. Turns out, as usual, she was like some personal banker at some high level, whatever. It's like everybody around me is always at higher levels, and I was always in these basically, you know, podunk jobs. But she was on an intramural baseball team or softball team with all these personal bankers at her bank, and she goes, "Hey, you should come play on our team." And I thought, yeah, is that going to work? I mean, I'm Bank of America. She was Washington Mutual. It's like, come on down. Well, I didn't even have a car. So let me just tell you the barriers that you think are out there. I didn't have a car. I worked in Seattle, which was about an hour away. I had to take the bus at all hours of the night. I also worked two jobs, was doing volunteer work. But, of course, I said, yeah. Because that's the way I think. And I ended up playing, we were playing different companies and their employees. So if you're into sports or you were into it when you were a kid and you wish you could still do it, you can. Start looking for them. Just look for them. There's different associations. You could get on some women's team if you're a woman. When I went my first year at college, they had rugby teams that were starting out at Gonzaga University, and I would go watch them a little bit. I still was sort of like, okay, what is the point of rugby? Because like, all it seemed like to me was getting muddy and figuring out where the ball was going to pop up, and then you'd all dive for the ball and get muddy and wait for the ball to pop up again. And I think there was a couple of times where they were running, and then somebody contacted me later in the year, and they're like, hey, we saw you at the rugby games, and we were wondering if you want to be on our women's rugby league. And I was like, maybe if I did, I'd understand the game better. You guys have no idea all the different things I've stepped my foot in. Oh, my goodness. And I ain't talking dog poop. So... please do. Life is all around you. If your life is go to work, come home, make dinner, put the kids to bed, go to sleep, get up, feed the kids, take them to school. Say, if you're doing that 5 days a week and your best day is Saturday when you get to get up, feed the kids, clean the whole house from top to bottom, and then feed them dinner, put them to bed, get up the next day, figure out what you didn't get done that other day, and prepare for the next week. And you're doing that week in and week out, it's not enough. It's actually not enough for you. You have to feed your brilliance. It's there. But stop repressing it. Just let it loose. Because we're all enjoying the best parts of life when people let their brilliance loose, when they know who they are. And knowing who you are makes it easier for people not to step on your toes. Because we tend to step on the toes of people we don't really know their toes are there. I don't think it's intentional. Well, sometimes it is, but...
Make up your mind, Brenda, intentional or not.
Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes people do mean things. It just,
yes,
that happens.
They do.
But knowing who you are and what you stand for, standing in who you are, that makes it easier for people to kind of have some idea of where the boundaries are, you know, what they can and can't do with you. But if you're just going to be like, yeah, I don't know, what, you know, what? Oh, you mistreated me, I really didn't like that, but, you know, I don't want to be mean to you. They were mean to you. You don't necessarily have to be mean. You normally don't have to be mean when you just stand and say, this is the limitation for Brenda. People start to hear what you state as your limitations, and you constantly stick with that. And what I'm saying is knowing who you are. Maybe the reason that people walk all over you or don't acknowledge your brilliance or how great you are, why you're such a perfect person in your work or your heart, because you're not letting them know. So let them know. Explore. And come back and tell me who you are. I'd really love to hear who you are. Most likely. I'll be honest with you. You might tell me some things that are kind of creepy, but, hey, I like monster movies. I might enjoy it. So, yeah. That was the show, folks, pretty much. It is, you know, seek your personality, what it says about your personality. You don't have to agree with it. It doesn't have to be true for you. And that's the brilliance of being yourself. You can actually state, yeah, that doesn't work for me, or that's not me. You may find later that it is you. But guess what? There's no harm or shame in that either. Yeah, I used to think that was me, but it isn't. This is who I am. I'm a little different than I was before. I'm not as much the quote-unquote party girl that I used to be, and I don't mean party in the, like, you know, sleazy sense, but I can see myself reemerging in a different light now that I've been through my graduate school and I've healed different aspects of me, but I'm not the same. I don't think we're ever the same, no matter what's happened to you, because we keep growing, right? So find out who you are, find out who you used to be, and find out how much of that you want to still support. Okay. So. And don't forget to take that quick little fun quiz, folks. Which wizard of... Oh, BBC.
Bainbridge.
That's just a little reminder, folks, that it's time for me to move, and I gotta get some things together so that I can, get my house ready that I'm moving to, and get this place ready that I'm moving from. So anyway, don't forget to take the fun quiz. Which Wizard of Oz character are you? That's on there. It's a fun little quiz, and it just kind of gets you to understand that, you know, there's so much more to you than everybody sees, and maybe it's time to let them see more of that. I mean, I think we'd all love to see that person, your true self. Okay, so now let's see. The show's coming up. Let's talk about what's coming up in the future shows, okay? I got it right here. Tomorrow on Wednesday, it's going to be Lennis's In the Studio with Lennis, and she's going to be discussing hot topics. Her show's at 7 p.m. And it sounded like today she wants to talk about a lot of these shootings and what's going on in the world with the guns and the issues and the mental health stuff. So it's something we're definitely going to explore at this network in July, and we'll keep you posted. But tomorrow, tune in and check out what Lennis and her crew are talking about on what's going on in the world. 7 p.m. Pacific time on Thursday. You can join me back
with
here.
Brenda.
Yes?
With Filmcology with Brenda.
That's right. And the movie we're going to be discussing is Ghost of Mississippi. It's about the death and the trial and what resulted after the murder of Megger Evers, who died. Thursday will be the anniversary of his death. Those many years ago, back in the 1960s, about 30 years ago. So on the 12th. Pardon?
50 years ago. You said 30, but it was 50.
I said about 30 or so. I wasn't thinking about the date, but I know it wasn't yesterday, but it was quite a while back. But anyway, it's a special show. I hope that you'll take the time to join us in remembering Megger Evers and just a lot of the civil rights issues that have taken place in America anyways. June is there's a lot of things that happened in June that have to do with civil rights. I mean, it's kind of interesting. It should probably be, we talk about Black History Month, it really should be in June considering all the losses that we experienced and the momentous dates. Anyways, so join us on the 12th for the Ghosts of Mississippi. Have a few conversations about racism and things like that. And then moving on to Friday.
Friday Traffic Jam with Lennis, and that is on at 5 p.m. Pacific time. Lennis will set your weekend off with 1 hour of music, and this week she is playing, do you know, Brenda?
Classic rock.
Classic rock.
And that's at 5 p.m., right.
Yep, for 1 hour, Lennis will rock your way into the weekend. And then we come to Saturday, which is Time to Love with Lydia. And Lydia's show is Nurture
with Nature. Yeah.
That should be very interesting.
We could use a little bit more nature in the world today. A little more nurturing,
sure,
I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Sunday we have psychic readings with Lennis. She has that, and that is on at 3 p.m. Pacific time. And she still has that special going on this month. Every ninth caller will get a free one-hour reading with Lennis. Come on, folks, call in. Take advantage of that, or Brenda and I are going to. I keep threatening
to get that read.
Yeah, we are. And you know what? This is the weekend. So you better call in. And I'm going to get it because it's my anniversary that day.
Aww. 40th anniversary. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah,
because you can get that reading and then find out about your past lives together, you and Porky Pig.
Mm-hmm. And then that brings, yes, that's my hobby. That brings us back to Monday, which is L&B, Passage to Empowerment. And this Monday, we are going to be talking about what, Brenda?
Women and unleashing your power. We're not talking about, like, last week's you losing your power, giving it away, or having it stolen. We're talking about gaining, you know, actually standing in your power and utilizing that power. So that's how we are going to, that's part one in a series where we're talking about this both for men, women, and relationships. Right, Nina?
Right. It should be very interesting. And we are, yeah, it should be a very, very interesting show because Us three women sure know how to unleash our power.
Yes, that's true. And we've unleashed our power to so much that we've somehow bumped the show to 7 p.m. instead of 8 from now on. So
we're hoping
all that power.
We've got
it a little more manageable time for some of you all.
So, yeah, that's what we're hoping, that instead of the archives, maybe you can come and join us live and give us a shout online or on the phone and talk to us.
Yeah.
And then we're back to Tuesday, BYO Brilliance. And next week, Brenda?
This one is so in keeping with where I'm headed. Okay, this is the brilliance of belonging. Now, the brilliance of belonging, it's like different organizations, okay? We talked about, you know, hobbies. We've talked about your personality, your true nature, getting in touch with your passions. And now, one way you can support that is belonging to something. How we all want to belong to something. We all do. So Nina has her Olaz Club. I belong to PsyChi, the National Society of, what is that? PsyChi, the International Honor Society in Psychology. I also belong to the American Psychological Science Association. So, you know, there's a lot of organizations out there, and you know what it does for you? It supports what you're about, right?
It sure does. Yeah, it sure does.
Oh. Join us next week, and we're going to talk about you getting into something with somebody and just belonging. I mean, you know, we all belong to the human race, most of us, and some of us to some other race, but that's okay. You know, you open arms. We're open here on this big blue marble. So
we sure
next
are.
Week, let's get to belonging something. I have a whole lot of suggestions of different organizations out there, and you can find even more on the internet and tell me about some next week. Okay, I believe
right,
that'll
folks.
Do it, folks. Let's see.
I just wanted to thank everybody that's listening live right now and to everybody listening in the archives. Thank you for joining us on the Essence of Success Network. It means a lot to all of us.
One more thing,
we
everyone.
We are an all-women network.
Your own brilliance, remember
keep going, Nina.
Keep us in mind and please stay tuned. We always have something exciting to talk about.
Yes, we do. You need to know something. Just like Barbara says.
I hate parading my serenading as I'll probably miss a bar.
Thank you, Nina, for joining me.
Oh, you're very well.
For watching out on the chat room. And thank you for all those people who are in the chat room. All of you who are listening in archives. I appreciate your support. Live with brilliance.
You're the top. You're the Louvre Museum. You're a melody from a symphony by Strauss. You're a band of bonnet, a Shakespeare sonnet. You're Mickey Mouse. You're the Nile. You're the Tower of Pisa. You're on the Mona Lisa. I'm a worthless check, a total wreck of flesh. Honey, baby, I'm the bottom, you're the top. You're the top, you're Mahatma Gandhi. You are Napoleon Brandy. You're the purple light of a summer night in Spain. You're the National Gallery. the Derby winner. I'm a toy balloon that is faded soon to pop. Buddy, baby, I'm the bottom. You're the top.
Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.